Jean padded softly down the hallway, away from her friends and family. As she turned to see if anyone was following her, she caught her reflection in an ornate, gilded mirror. She smoothed her auburn ringlets and put on a determined face. This should be the happiest moment of her life. She was married to a wealthy nobleman. He was kind to her, and now he was letting her throw a lavish fete at his expense while he was away. Jean quickly turned the corner and continued on her mission. She tiptoed down the dark hallway to do the only thing he had asked her not to do. She couldn't help it. She had to know what was behind that door. Her hand trembled. She slipped the key into the lock. This was her last chance to stop, but she couldn't resist. Just one little peek. No one would ever know. The door flew open as if pulled by an unseen force. It was too dark to see anything. Jean squinted. She started to leave, stepping backwards, but she could make something out now. She shook her head. No, this couldn't be real. I'm Vanessa Richardson. You're listening to Tales. Today, I'm sharing the shocking story of Bluebeard, the sordid tale of what secrets lurk behind a locked door. Today's episode follows the most famous account of Bluebeard, written by French author Charles Perrault, and first published in 1697 by famed printer Claude Barbin. The tales on this podcast are dark, sometimes scary, and full of adult themes. As a warning, Bluebeard includes domestic violence, attempted murder, and gruesome corpses. Please exercise caution for children under 13. If you want to hear more tales, you can find episodes on your favorite podcast directory. A new episode will release every other Saturday, so if you enjoy it, subscribe, and please leave a 5-star review. Charles Perrault is widely considered the father of the fairy tale genre. He is responsible for creating some of the most well-known and beloved fairy tales of all time: Puss in Boots, Sleeping Beauty, Little Red Riding Hood, and the queen of fairy tales herself, Cinderella. Fairy tales often become altered and sanitized over time, but Perrault's versions are often quite true to the original tellings, particularly Sleeping Beauty and Cinderella. Bluebeard was originally a folk tale and was well known throughout France before Charles Perrault recorded it in the late 17th century. And while some accounts consider this story one of the peasantry, another theory is that Bluebeard was a women's story, passed down between mother and daughter to prepare young women for their own futures as wives and mothers. In this instance, our story today is an example of a cautionary tale. Warn your daughters before it's too late. Disobedience can be deadly. Bluebeard plays into one of the morality lessons that have long been a theme in literature, that of the curious female ruining everything. Eve, Pandora, the list goes on and on. Our heroine, Jean, is one of many women who didn't do what they were told and had to suffer the consequences. Bluebeard is a little unique as far as fairy tales go, because there aren't a lot of traditional fairy tale elements. No wizards and warlocks, no dragons or fairy godmothers. Other than an otherworldly beard and a magical key, the rest of the story is actually quite grounded in the human realm. Perhaps this was to drive home the moral overtones. If you were handed a key to your spouse's secret, forbidden room, could you resist a peek? Before Jean was a nervous new bride in a palatial chateau, she was the beautiful youngest daughter of a well-to-do family in southern France. She and her older sister Anne, another great local beauty, spent their languid days playing with cocker spaniels and studying the arts. painting, calligraphy, the harp, all the things you might expect from the rosy-cheeked, button-nosed young ladies of the 17th century French leisure class. Jean's biggest inconvenience was that her mother kept insisting that she wed, and wed a man of great social standing. But as a fairy tale debutante, she much preferred to ride horses in the forest and sing to her animal friends. This particular afternoon, Jean was working on a watercolor of an idyllic pastoral landscape. Before Jean could answer the knock, her older sister Anne barged into the room. She plopped down on Jean's bed. Anne was taller, bolder, raven-haired. No man was ever good enough for her, much to their mother's chagrin.
"The monster is downstairs waiting for us,"
Anne informed Jean, who was just in the middle of delicately shading in a cottony cloud on her canvas.
"Already. Why won't he give up?"
Jean set down her brush.
"He's so frightful and ugly. How many times must we reject Bluebeard's marriage proposals?"
She futzed with her hair and pinched her cheeks. Anne whispered into her sister's ear mischievously.
"They say that he'll do anything to rid himself of his blue beard, that he's done terrible, dastardly things in his efforts, things that are cruel, unspeakable."
Jean's eyes grew as wide as a full moon in the dead of winter. Jean pushed her away.
"Oh, nonsense." "Well, can you explain why all of his wives have disappeared?"
Anne laughed, and Jean rolled her eyes.
"Some believe he murdered them."
What malicious gossip to spread about a man? Jean shrugged it off, but still her hairs stood on end. A chill crept down her neck. What would this man do to rid himself of his beard? What must it be like to be that unsightly? Who knows what one would do when their own face disgusted them? She might take drastic measures, but taking another life? She couldn't even think of such an atrocity.
"Time to go see the ogre."
Anne's voice was chipper, sing-song. Anne was always the more outspoken sister. Jean wouldn't be surprised if she would call him an ogre to his face. Jean would never dare. Each time he came around, he was cordial, deferential, and yet there was something menacing about this man. Even when he was genteel, she did have the feeling something sinister was lurking beneath the surface.
"Girls, now!"
Their mother ordered them to come down. Giggling, Anne bounded down the stairs with Jean quickly following suit. Their mother waited with an arched eyebrow at the bottom of the stairs. Anne and Jean stood in front of their mother. She surveyed their appearance.
"Hmph,"
was her final appraisal. She leaned in closely. "I know he's not the husband of your dreams, but you can't wait forever. He's a worthy man. Think of your future. Someday you'll have wrinkles, and no man will want you." The sisters had heard this speech before. Better to wed a man you despise than to be a sad, lonely spinster. Though sometimes the thought of spending her elderly days with her sister at the house didn't seem so bad to Jean. Their mother sighed.
"Your brothers were so much easier to get married."
Anne snickered. She lowered her head to try and hide it, but Anne wasn't good at hiding these things. Their mother stepped forward and smacked Anne's hand.
"Show some poise, elegance."
Both girls turned somber. Their mother turned to Jean.
"You speak with him first, while Anne collects herself."
She shot Anne a death stare. Jean stepped into their parlor and saw the ugly man seated expectantly in a wing-back chair. His blue beard was a mess of wiry cobalt tangles that dominated his broad chest. The azure hairs overpowered his visage. The color was a cold, icy blue, a shade not found in the natural world.
It spoke to inhuman, otherworldly roots. When he saw her, he stood up, tall, imposing. As he strode towards her, it was all Jean could do not to turn and run in terror. His eyes bore through her.
"Mademoiselle, how are you this afternoon?"
He bowed chivalrously. Jean nervously curtsied. She stood up, unable to look him in the eye. She didn't know what to say. An awkward silence ensued. Jean played with her hands.
"As you know, I've come once again to inquire as to whether you'll accept my hand in marriage."
Jean cast her eyes downward. "I'm sorry, sir. I couldn't possibly. It would be too hard for my sister. She's the one you should be asking." Bluebeard stared at her. She could sense an anger welling up inside of the man, that he wanted to say something that he never would, and yet he was smiling. He was absolutely polite. Jean demurely bowed her head and exited quickly. Anne stepped in, and Jean waited outside the parlor, listening to their conversation. Anne was decidedly polite.
"I couldn't possibly accept your hand in marriage. I am loath to hinder my sister from the match."
Jean covered her mouth so no one can hear her curse. She couldn't believe that Anne had the audacity to say that. Never mind, she had just done the same thing. She stepped away so she didn't seem like she was eavesdropping. Anne quickly exited the salon, followed by Bluebeard.
"Ladies, if I could have one more word. May I invite you to my country manor? Sometimes these settings are so formal, so stiff. Perhaps we could get to know each other a bit better in a more casual environment."
Anne and Jean both opened their mouths to protest, but their mother stepped in front of them before they could get a word in edgewise.
"They would love to,"
she assured him with a winning smile.
"Splendid," Bluebeard said. "Invite your friends, your brothers, your relatives. Everyone is welcome. I promise this will exceed your wildest expectations."
Jean and Anne turned to their mother, horrified. What had she done? She smiled back at them pointedly. She'd get one of these girls married off yet. Jean was breathless. She'd never had so much fun in her entire life. Bluebeard's country chateau was indeed the stuff of dreams. Just 3 days in, and she'd never remembered feeling so happy, so alive. The home was lavish, but cozy. There was fresh baked bread and exquisite wine, braised duck for dinner that had been freshly hunted that morning. The weather was perfect, spirits high. The unnatural blue beard suddenly seemed a little more natural, or at least people were too drunk to let it bother them. Bluebeard had horses, and in the mornings, when the meadows were still foggy and the moon still hanging in the sky, Jean and Bluebeard would go out riding together, and he would share with Jean his knowledge of local flora and fauna, which delighted Jean to no end. One afternoon, while wading in the cool pond nearby, Jean turned to her mother.
"His beard doesn't even seem so blue anymore," mused Jean.
Anne walked from the grassy shore towards them. She stood behind them, arms crossed, remarking pointedly,
"It's very blue."
Jean shrugged. Anne could be so snobby. Maybe he was just misunderstood. Every night, they held epic feasts where everyone gathered and laughed and joked. They drank too much fantastic wine, and as the week progressed, the group became much more relaxed and comfortable with one another. Inhibitions were dropping. On the seventh night, Anne had clearly had too much to drink.
"It isn't funny,"
she slurred, turning to Bluebeard.
that your blue beard seems to cause more trouble for you when it comes to courting women than your 6 mysteriously dead wives do.
Anne kept laughing as if this were a normal thing to say to a wealthy man, a powerful man who was treating them to such grandiosity.
Tell us, Bluebeard, what happened to your wives?
The group sat in stunned silence. Jean was mortified. Everyone turned to Bluebeard to see what he would do. He was smiling, but it was a cruel smile, twisted as if he could murder Anne on the spot. His eyes were piercing. Their mother looked like she might faint. No one dared to speak. Anne didn't back down, though. She stared at the man. She wanted an answer. And perhaps it was the wine, perhaps it was to cover for Anne's gaffe, but in that moment, Jean no longer felt so disgusted by Bluebeard. She felt bad for him. Suddenly, she heard the words come out of her mouth, and there was nothing she could do to stop them.
I will marry you.
We'll return to our story in just a moment. And now let's continue the story.
As the declaration of Jean's intent to marry Bluebeard settled over the room, Anne looked at Jean as if she'd lost her mind. Jean couldn't look at her, but kept her eyes trained on Bluebeard. At the very least, this could keep her sister from getting strangled at this table. Bluebeard nodded his approval, beaming.
We shall marry in a fortnight.
Their mother smiled victoriously. The group suddenly turned to congratulations, and the tension from the moment dissolved. Anne walked up to Jean and whispered coldly in her ear,
"Do try not to get killed."
The nuptials were hasty. Bluebeard had no family, and only Jean's mother, brothers, and Anne were in attendance. Also, people tend to avoid the 7th wedding of a man whose 6 previous wives disappeared. But other than that, the first month of marriage went better than Jean could have ever thought possible. She had feared that she would be locked up into an ivory tower, that life would somehow be fantastically different than it had been before. But her new husband bent over backwards to please her. He was deferential, soft-spoken, and considerate of her passions. He even told her that she played the harp beautifully, something that she knew was absolutely not true. One morning, as her eyelids fluttered open, she saw her husband waiting next to her with a tray of tea and warm breakfast.
"My darling, I must leave for a few weeks. I have some affairs to attend to in the country."
He didn't elaborate, and Jean didn't press the issue. There was always something about Bluebeard that was a little impenetrable, something inaccessible. She didn't want to pry, but she also felt deeply that there was something he didn't want her to know. Even when things were sunny and cheerful, there was always a feeling that something sinister lay just around the corner. But she brushed it off. She always did. Being paranoid was no way to start a marriage. He kissed her forehead and patted her hand.
"I want you to enjoy yourself as much as possible while I'm away. Here are the keys to all the rooms and wardrobes in the castle. In these closets you will find jewels, heirlooms. I want you to enjoy them all. What's mine is yours."
He held up an ornate antique key ring with at least 10 beautifully carved keys dangling.
"And invite all your friends while I'm away. I'd like for your friends to feel at home here."
Jean looked away. She appreciated that her husband did not want her to become lonesome in his absence. Maybe if she did, they would come to see what she saw in him. Humor, generosity, a man misunderstood because he was born different.
"There's only one thing that I ask,"
he held up one particular key, a gilded key that looked like it had been polished yesterday, gleaming, shiny. Jean reached out to touch it, and Bluebeard pulled it away, like she was a child.
"You must not enter the room this key unlocks, or even put the key into the lock."
His voice was so dead serious, it unnerved her.
"If you do not obey me in this one thing, expect the most dreadful punishments."
He then smiled, as if he hadn't just threatened her life. Bluebeard then set the key ring on the night table next to her and tenderly bade her farewell. Jean sat in bed for a moment, ruminating. Why would he even bother giving her a key that wasn't meant to be used? Why not just keep it hidden in a drawer? Perhaps he wanted her to use it, and this was some game he was playing. If one were quite serious about keeping a secret, why give someone access to the secret? It didn't make any sense. She was not going to disobey her husband, though. Would she? Jean stared at the key ring. The key to the forbidden room seemed more polished than all the others. It glinted in the sun, calling to her. She shook it off. Who could think about things like this? It was time to plan a party. Jean sent for Anne, and they laid out plans for the next day. Everyone in the village was curious as to what her new life was like, and Jean was ready to show it off. The party was a wild success. It was hard to pass up an opulent feast, especially if Bluebeard wasn't going to be there. A peek behind the heretofore impenetrable curtain, without having to stare at that follicular eyesore. Everything was first class. The champagne, the petit four, they even roasted an entire pig for the occasion. And musicians were in attendance for dancing and singing. All of the guests were amazed by the immaculate mansion, the damask walls, the fine paintings, the silver, the china, the well-upholstered couches and chairs. It was out of a dream. They explored each room, every nook and cranny, each more marvelous than the next. And while Jean should have been consumed with hosting duties, she couldn't help herself. There was a room of her own that she wanted to explore. A part of her kept longing, as if a magnetizing force were pulling her to that one room. What could Bluebeard possibly be hiding? Didn't she have a right to know? So here she was now, away from everyone, in the forbidden room, her eyes adjusting to the dim light, heart racing, alone with only her mounting terror. Jean realized what he was hiding in here. Corpses. Several were hung on hooks on the wall, impaled. Others slumped on the floor. Here were Bluebeard's mysterious disappearing wives, still in their expensive corsets and gowns, as if ready to go to the opera. Their throats had been slit, their mouths frozen agape in horror. Their hair was matted, sticky with blood that stained their fine dresses after he had sliced them with a knife. She could see who had been murdered first, a wife that was now almost entirely a skeleton, while others had rotting, ashen skin, maggots still feasting on their flesh. Their tortured expressions were frozen in time. It was as if they were staring right at Jean, trying to warn her of her fate. Jean jumped at the noise, having become mesmerized by the hanging corpses. How careless. She had dropped the key. Jean looked down and saw that she was standing in clotted blood, gooey, icky, and all over her delicate satin shoes. She swore. Ladies don't swear, but this occasion seemed to call for it. Jean quickly looked back down the hallway, she could hear people walking this way. She bent down and scooped the key out of the sticky blood and hurriedly slammed the door behind her. As she ran back down the hallway, she saw that she was leaving a trail of blood behind her, but no time to stop for that now. She quickly took off her shoes and grabbed a new pair from her wardrobe. Jean closed her eyes, trying desperately to collect herself. She tried to slow her frantic heart rate down, but she felt woozy, dazed, nauseated. The smell was following her, the smell of rotten flesh, the putrid, trapped air of death.
Sister?
Jean was startled by the voice and looked up in abject fear, as if Bluebeard himself was standing above her, raising his scimitar to slice her throat right then and there. But it was just Anne.
Have you grown ill?
Anne inquired. Jean couldn't tell anyone what she had seen. She wasn't even sure she believed what she had seen. She had to pretend it had never happened.
I'm afraid I might have imbibed too much wine, she lied.
Anne curled up next to Jean on the floor.
I think we all have. What a celebration. Bluebeard really loves you. Perhaps I misjudged the beast.
She winked playfully at Jean, hoping to tease her good cheer back out. Jean smiled woozily. Anne looked down in Jean's lap. Jean's tiny hands were trembling, her brow furrowed.
Did something frighten you?
Jean shook her head. No, not at all. Everything is fine. Jean mustered all of her strength to stand up, but she was shaky, unstable. Anne held her up, steadying her. Suddenly, a new wave of nausea struck Jean. The bloodstains. She had forgotten. She couldn't have anyone find the bloody footprints on the carpet.
No, no. Everyone must leave now.
Jean started wringing her hands. Anne shook her head, confused by the sudden change in her sister.
Please apologize to the guests, but I'm quite unwell after all. I can barely stand up.
Very well, then. I will make sure everyone clears out immediately, and I will stay in the guest cottage tonight, in case you need anything.
Jean nodded, too discomposed to protest. The sisters exchanged goodbyes, and Jean crawled under her duvet, pretending to be asleep, until she was sure Anne was gone. Jean flung the covers off of her, almost crashing out of the four-poster bed and careening onto her face. She grabbed the bloody key off of the nightstand and rushed to fill a basin with water. The blood on the key had dried quickly. Jean was surprised at how stubborn the stain was. Finally, she started making some headway. She was able to successfully remove the stain on one side. She flipped the key over and began scrubbing the other side. But to her surprise, as soon as she turned the key over, blood sprang back up on the first side. That didn't make sense. Maybe she was so flustered she hadn't done as good of a job as she thought she had. She cleaned the original side again. This time she was sure it was gone. She observed it for a few seconds to make sure. Slowly, drop by drop, the blood returned. No, it wasn't possible. Panic set in. This was clearly a cursed key. A trick key. Bluebeard had done this on purpose. She scrubbed each side over and over to no avail. Jean crumpled over in despair. This was a nightmare, but she couldn't give up now. She would simply tell Bluebeard that she lost the key, should he even bother to ask about it again. She had to at least remove the bloody footprints. She ran down the hallway and began furiously soaping the carpets, getting rug burns and straining her elbow. Sweat dripped off of her forehead as she maniacally scrubbed them clean. These stains came out. A sigh of relief. Maybe she had just imagined that the key was somehow magical, in possession of strange powers. Surely she was just out of sorts. She would figure it out over the next several weeks while Bluebeard was gone. She just needed to calm down and pursue this when she had regained her senses. She had plenty of time.
My love!
Suddenly, Bluebeard's booming voice echoed throughout the manor. Jean shot up out of her reverie in complete disbelief. Bluebeard was home. Our story will continue in a moment after a brief message. And now, back to Tales.
My love!
Bluebeard continued to call to her from the foyer. Was she hearing voices now? It couldn't be. She ran barefoot and wild-eyed down the hallway. She didn't even want him to know she'd been in this wing of the chateau.
Jean!
He cried out. She could hear his footsteps getting closer. She jumped into bed and grabbed her knitting from the nightstand, trying her best to look as engrossed as possible. She smiled up at her husband. Everything was normal.
Good evening, mon chéri.
Bluebeard calmly entered the room, setting down his travel hat on the bureau. Jean smiled warmly, not a care in the world.
I see that there were quite the festivities here.
Yes, you just missed it, sadly. Just as well, though, I grew so tired I needed to retire. Anne is staying in the guest cottages tonight. She didn't want me to be alone in case I needed her.
Bluebeard grunted in satisfaction.
That uppity sister of yours is proving to be a decent woman after all.
Jean did not like when he spoke ill of Anne, but that was the least of her concerns at the moment.
My brothers will also be visiting me in the morning. They have not yet to visit since our nuptials.
Bluebeard tussled his wife's hair affectionately.
Very well.
He approached her and kissed her passionately. The Bluebeard scratched her, and she couldn't help but pull away.
What brought you home so early?
She hoped her voice sounded inquisitive and curious, not panicked and dismayed. Bluebeard didn't seem to notice.
I received a letter on the road that my affairs had already been tended to, and the results quite in my favor. I didn't need to do a thing except return to my beautiful, obedient wife.
Obedient felt like a punch to the gut. Jean mustered a nervous smile. Bluebeard went to wash up from his journey, and Jean insisted she was absolutely knackered from the party. But Jean couldn't sleep a wink that night. She kept her eyes glued to the ceiling, praying that Bluebeard would never ask for that damned key. She woke up before sunrise and hid away in the bathroom. She diligently scrubbed the key, backwards and forwards and sideways, and each time she turned the key over, the bloodstains would spring up anew, infuriatingly mocking her efforts. She cracked her nails, but she kept going until her fingers bled, stinging in the scalding hot water.
Jean?
Jean quickly hid the key in between some towels stacked on the vanity and opened the door demurely.
Just taking care of some lady business.
She smiled seductively and skirted around him. She would have to resort to some feminine wiles to distract him from finding the key she'd left in there. She flounced onto the bed and slowly pulled up her petticoats. Bluebeard ignored her, stepping into the bathroom to attend to his own affairs. As he closed the door behind him, Jean's heart clenched. He was in there with the key. Bluebeard sounded perfectly happy with whatever was happening, but Jean was pacing, wringing her hands, one step away from a full-blown panic attack. She raced down to the kitchen to begin preparing breakfast. That would distract her nerves and certainly curry favor with her husband. Out of the window, she could see Anne outside in the sunshine, journaling, without a care in the world. There was no way she could see Jean like this. She would know that something was afoot, and Jean was holding on by a thread.
"Here you are."
Jean whirled around to see Bluebeard, smiling coldly.
"Yes, husband. I thought I would poach you some eggs this morning. Our new hen has been so prolific of late."
"Hmm."
Bluebeard seemed to have other things on his mind than eggs. She went to clean it up, but Bluebeard strode over to her and firmly grabbed her hand.
"The keys. Where are they?"
Jean looked up in surprise.
"Oh, silly me. Why, yes, of course. I'll get them for you."
Jean hurried to where she had left them in the hallway by the foyer. There were so many keys on that key ring. Perchance he would not even notice that one was missing. Jean handed Bluebeard the keys. He inspected them, as if studying an ancient scroll. Time seemed to go on for an eternity.
"Where's the other key?"
Jean looked at him innocently. Bluebeard's face grew cloudy.
"Where is the key to the room I forbade you to enter?"
"Oh, I must have left it on the table upstairs. I took it off the keychain so I would be sure not to use it accidentally."
"Bring it to me at once."
Bluebeard's voice was harsh, abrasive. He had never spoken to her in this tone. Flustered, Jean hurried up to the bathroom, where she fished the bloody key out from between the towels and immediately began scrubbing it again. It was hopeless. Like a dog with his tail between its legs, Jean returned downstairs to her husband. She handed the blood-stained key to him, hoping he would accept a plausible explanation.
"How is it that blood came to be on this key?" Bluebeard demanded.
Jean was as white as a sheet.
"I don't know," she said lamely. "Perhaps someone cut their finger carving the pig yesterday and some dripped onto it."
"Lies!" His booming voice shook her to the core. "You have been in that wardrobe, the very place I told you not to enter. The only thing that I asked of you."
Jean could not protest. She hung her head in shame.
"You disobeyed me."
Jean jumped as Bluebeard punched a wall. She could only imagine her face might be next.
"And you tried to wash away your sins, foolish woman. A fairy gifted me this key. It was so that I would never be tricked or deceived by a treacherous woman."
Jean stuttered, trying to protest, but no words would come out. She was frozen in terror. She had not meant to commit any vile act. She had not meant to anger him so. She had no idea that he was the murderer people claimed he was. Her only crime was that she had trusted him. Bluebeard stepped towards her.
"Since you are so fond of this room, you shall take your place amongst the ladies you saw there. You must die at once."
Jean fell to her knees to beg for mercy, but the decision was final. She wanted to pass out from fear, but she had to keep her wits about her.
"If I am to die, please, I beg of you, give me at least a little time to say my prayers."
Bluebeard regarded her with absolute power.
"Very well. I shall give you a half of a quarter of an hour and not a moment more."
Jean rushed up the stairs to her room, slamming the door behind her. She quickly opened her window to where Anne was in the yard below, humming to the chickens as she scattered grain among them.
"Anne!"
Jean hissed.
"Anne!"
was in her own world.
Anne!
Jean was ready to throw her wedding ring at the oblivious woman if she didn't look up soon. Finally, Anne looked up. Jean waved frantically. She immediately burst into tears as soon as Anne saw her.
Please run to the top of the tower and see if our brothers are coming. And if you do, tell them to come as quickly as possible.
Anne dashed off to the adjacent building towards the turret that faced the road, which Jean could not see. Jean could hear Bluebeard downstairs, stomping to and fro, growing more agitated by the minute. Jean was running out of time. Frantically, Anne ran back towards Jean, shaking her head. No one was in sight.
Come down at once!
The wrath of Bluebeard made the walls quake. Anne ran back to the window.
I see nothing but the sun, which casts shadows that look like it could be our dear brothers, but it's an illusion.
This was not helpful. Jean could hear Bluebeard losing his temper downstairs, demanding that she come down or he would drag her down the stairs by her hair. Anne ran off again.
Anything?
Jean called out. Anne was animated.
I see something!
She made haste to get a closer look. She returned empty-handed.
It is only a flock of sheep.
I'm coming to fetch you, you wretched woman!
Bluebeard's voice shook the entire house. Anne disappeared again, but Jean's time was up. Hopeless, Jean finally came down, tearful, begging for her life once again. Perhaps this could all be sorted out.
All of this is no use, for you shall die.
Bluebeard yanked her hair and raised his scimitar high into the air, ready to behead his wife for the seventh time.
I hope you said your prayers,
Bluebeard taunted her snidely. The gates flew open, and two of her brothers, dressed in their officers' uniforms, strode in. Seeing their sister on her knees, they immediately brandished their swords. Bluebeard, no match for two strapping young soldiers, immediately dropped his blade and tried to run away, but he only made it 20 paces before they overtook him. They gutted him instantly, skewering the vile murderer. Jean lay in a crumpled heap on the floor, spent, almost as dead as Bluebeard himself. Her family surrounded her, reviving their young sister, who had only tried to love the man with the blue beard. Jean was the only heir to Bluebeard's massive fortune, and felt it was her duty to help her family for saving her. Anne received a dowry, and she purchased captain's commissions for her valiant brothers. The rest she gave to a most upstanding gentleman, a man whose kindness made her almost forget about the horrors she experienced in Bluebeard's castle. But some nights when she slept, she would still see the bodies and feel the blood sticking to her shoes, scrubbing the key until her fingers bled. She would wake up in a cold sweat, and her new husband would reassure her this was all just a bad dream. And they, mostly, lived happily ever after. The exact origin of Bluebeard is still debated, but consensus is that it was based on an actual French nobleman, Gilles de Rais. Gilles de Rais lived in early 15th century France and was a national hero for driving the English out of France. But when he retired to his estate in Brittany, he turned sadistic and deviant. He was known to practice black magic and developed a bloodlust for killing young boys after he sodomized them. And, like Bluebeard, he preferred killing by decapitation. They found the bodies of 50 boys on his property, but he confessed to killing 140, and possibly murdered up to 300. Duret was burned alive and hung in 1440 for his heinous crimes. The speculation is that the peasantry wove this tale to warn the dangers of powerful, rich men, whose actions often went unchecked. Bluebeard has reverberated throughout popular culture for centuries and has influenced a great number of writers. The trope of the secretive, abusive spouse echoes throughout literature. One of the most famous examples is in Charlotte Bronte's classic, Jane Eyre. Like Bluebeard, Rochester is also hiding something cruel and unusual from his bride-to-be, this time in an attic. The author even goes so far as to describe it as a corridor in some Bluebeard's castle. While others have done their own spin on the tale, namely the Brothers Grimm in the 19th century and novelist Anatole France after that, the broad strokes of the story remain largely unchanged, perhaps because there's nothing to improve on. The simple, harrowing story does not need to be updated. The impression Bluebeard left on its readers then is still wicked and mesmerizing now, capturing and horrifying today's audience. Thanks for listening to Tales. If you want to listen to more Tales, you can find us and subscribe on your favorite podcast directory or listen on Parcast.com. If you enjoyed the show, we'd truly appreciate a 5-star review. Tales was created by Max Cutler. It is a production of Cutler Media and is part of the Parcast Network. It is produced by Max and Ron Cutler, sound design by Ron Shapiro, with production assistance by Carrie Murphy. Additional production assistance by Maggie Admire and Carly Madden. Tales is written by Gina Machusik. I'm Vanessa Richardson.